Today is Monday, August 16th, 2021. This is a part two Grand Canyon oral history interview with Dr. Stanley Buse, last name spelled B-E-U-S. My name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Stan. How are you today?
Okay. Well,
great.
Glad you're here.
You're very kind. We ended up part one as just a few days before you left your 2 years in the Army. Your wife gave birth to your second child that turned out to be twins.
Right.
Where were you planning to go after you got out of the Army?
Back to college.
Where?
Utah State University is where I had in mind anyway, and that's where I ended up.
Is that in Salt Lake City?
No, it's in Logan, Utah.
Okay. Utah State.
Yeah, Utah State University.
So Logan is a little further down the Wasatch Front, a little further south,
yes.
Is that right? Okay. Okay.
No. It's actually farther north. It's north of Salt Lake City.
Thank you.
It's almost up to the Idaho border.
Okay. And of course, your mom and dad were up there, so...
Yeah, they were living in Idaho. Yep.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't that far away.
Yep.
Did you have an idea at that time then what you wanted to get your degree in?
No, I wasn't sure. I wanted to do it in some kind of a science, I thought, and so I initially started out in, I took a zoology course. I was a good teacher, can't think of his name now, but he was very good, but... Because I thought maybe I'd like to be a biology teacher or a biologist, but the impression I got from that class is that biology is all blood and guts and formaldehyde. So I thought, no, I don't want to be a biology. So the second semester, I took a course in geology. The first one I'd ever taken. I'd had some in high school, you know, as part of a physical science program, but no real pure geology, and this was a solid beginning course. And after I'd been there a while, I realized they would pay me to do what these guys do for fun. What I love to do outdoors.
Okay.
So I promptly shifted to geology.
Do you remember some of the names of some of your geology professors?
Yeah, there
at
were
the time?
Only three that really were very active in it at the time. The head of the department was J. Stuart Williams, an older guy who'd been in geology for much of his adult life. And then he had two other members. There were only three in that department when I started. The other two were Clyde Hardy.
How do you spell Clyde's last name?
H-A-R-D-Y,
okay.
Hardy, who
okay.
is from somewhere in the east. He just come out west and got involved in geology there. And he was kind of critical of all the Mormons that were around him there in Logan.
Okay. It's kind of an odd place to want to teach and be critical of basically everybody in the community.
Yeah, well, that's what he was.
Okay.
But he was good. He was a good advisor. And
okay.
The third one was Olson. I think his name was, I'm not sure. I think it was Tom Olson. He was the newest member. He was an active Mormon, but he had a PhD, and he was an expert in mineralogy, you know, and mining. He ended up going into mining geology after a while.
Okay.
Because he could get more, be paid more there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But Clyde Hardy stayed with the department there, and then it started to get, after I left, it gained other people that I don't know. But
okay.
Those three were the ones that really got me going in geology, and I spent the next 2 years taking all the geology I could get and ended up with a master's degree at the end of that time.
Oh, wow, after the 2 years.
Yeah, uh-huh. Took me 2 years to do it because, you know, I had to start from scratch in geology and
right.
take some other beginning courses. And
So you basically crammed 3 years into two.
Yeah, something like that.
Do you remember what your master's thesis was in? Or was it even a thesis program?
Yes, it was. I'm trying to think because I get it confused with what I did for my dissertation later, which was much more demanding. I worked on some stratigraphy, the study of layered sedimentary rocks.
Okay.
I don't remember what I did with that. I did some...
You know, when I think of Logan, or I certainly think of southern Idaho, I think of a lot of volcanics.
Yeah, there are some there, yeah. They're more up into Idaho.
Okay.
There are a lot of volcanics in Idaho. Well, Logan is in Cache Valley, and Cache Valley is a fairly fertile farming area right to the edge of the Wasatch Range there. And... most of the rocks that I saw there were sedimentary rocks. So my master's thesis was dealing with some study of sedimentary rocks.
Okay.
I cannot even tell you now what it was exactly because I had to do so much more when I got into the PhD that I left all that stuff behind me and went on to. But anyway, I did end up with a master's degree after 2 years.
Did you have any more children in that 2 year time period?
No.
Okay.
That summer, because I knew I had the summer off, I had to do something, I needed to earn some money. I was fortunate to have the GI Bill because I'd been in the military. That really was a tremendous, tremendous boost. It paid for my way into the PhD program.
Wow.
You know, with allowance so much every year.
Okay.
It was wonderful. I'm grateful that I made the decision to let them draft me when I said, go ahead, draft me.
Nice.
Not knowing what I was getting into, but...
And so the GI Bill covered your
schooling? It covered my
schooling.
Master's degree and part of my PhD.
Okay.
And...
Every now and then I just look at the machine, make sure it's working.
Okay.
So it covered your master's and part of your PhD. Did it give you a stipend for housing, for an apartment to rent? Or?
Well, it just gave me an allowance of so much a month. I can't remember how much it was, but it was guaranteed for all the time in my 2 years at Utah State and then at least through the first year at UCLA.
Okay.
Maybe both first and second year, maybe. So, but that summer, since I was free for the summer, didn't have any classes in, and I was planning to start at UCLA in the fall, I ended up taking a job offer from an oil company to go spend the summer in Alaska.
Ah.
It was a great adventure for me, but it was quite a struggle for the family because my wife had three young children.
Wow.
What to do with them? Well, her family, her parents lived in... just out of Salt Lake City, and just south of the city, and they agreed to have her come with our kids and stay with them.
Oh, that's nice.
Because they were grandparents, you know. Their kids were all raised and gone.
Okay.
So it was okay, except within a week after I left, one of our twins came down with chickenpox.
Oh no! Oh.
And it went through all three of the kids. So my wife, Karma, had to endure that most of the summer. She was not very happy about that.
I bet.
So
let's back up a little bit. As a young man interested in geology, you could have gone to any number of universities for your further studies.
Right.
What was it about UCLA, of all places in a giant town, that attracted you?
Well, partly it was the financial part of it. I applied to the University of Wyoming.
Okay.
And was ready to apply at the University of Idaho. And then UCLA came through with an offer, and it was better than I had gotten from the other two.
Okay.
It was almost double. In other words, they gave me a job. They knew I needed some financial support so I could be a grad assistant, teaching assistant.
Okay.
And so I went knowing that I had a better shot at that, at least a better salary, so to speak, going to UCLA. So that's where I went. I'd never really been much had to do with Los Angeles before, but...
Had you even been there before?
Yes, I'd been there. I'd been through the city, but that's about all.
Okay.
I'd never known it very well.
All right, so let's back up a minute then again to Alaska for the summer. What was the oil company you were working for?
It was General Petroleum, I think was the name of it.
I'm sorry, I missed
General Petroleum. Or something like that. And okay. Actually, it was part of a larger company. And they were exploring because that spring, the geologists in Alaska, and there were lots of people working there in oil, they discovered oil in the Kenai Peninsula.
Okay.
So the next summer, there were geology parties from various oil companies traveling in Alaska using a helicopter.
Okay.
And they were so... There were so many of them. If you passed them in the sky and you saw a planet and 2 or 3 miles back, you knew it was another geology department looking for more oil.
You wave at them. But what year was this?
Well, let's see. I got out in the Army of 55.
So 56, 57, 58.
Yeah.
Yep. What kind of helicopter were you in?
It's a fairly standard one. It was piloted. We had in our team, we had two geologists in the team and two graduate students like myself who were assistants to the two geologists. You know,
okay.
They would, and then we had a helicopter pilot who was with us all the time. I still remember him. His name was Orlando Grino from South America.
Yeah. Orlando, how do you spell Orlando's last name?
Orlando, O-R-L-A-N-D-O, Orlando Grino, G-R-E-E-N-O, I think it was.
Huh, okay. And where, he was from where in South America?
I don't know, somewhere in South America.
Okay.
But he was a good pilot, he knew what he was doing with that. And then we also had, from time to time, we'd have a mechanic, you know, come and check on the helicopter, and after a while we learned why that was pretty important.
So
I didn't want that thing to happen to that helicopter.
Thinking about helicopters at the time, I'm thinking about a two-seater with a bulb, kind of big plexiglass kind of front.
That's what it was, something like that.
And some sort of a tubular framework going out to the back propeller. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Probably had metal blades, but might have had wooden blades.
No, they have metal blades.
Okay.
Big ones.
Yep. Okay.
And one of the other parties, because this company that I was with had several parties besides ours.
Okay.
We learned that. And then they had a supervisor who was over all of us out there that summer.
Okay.
And he checked in with us periodically, see how we're doing and so on. And one of my good friends, who was one of the other teams, made the mistake of when they got out of the helicopter, you just walk out from under the blades and get away from it. He tossed a rock sample up, hit that big prop, and just put a big dent in it. They had to send back to Los Angeles for a new helicopter prop for that.
He's lucky it didn't just shatter and
yeah,
kill
it didn't
him
shatter
in the process.
But it put a tremendous big, I guess, big notch in that propeller. They couldn't use it anymore.
Wow.
He just didn't think, you know, but just, I mean, he said to run and toss it out, but it tossed it just up high enough, hit that blade, and,
Wow.
So when I remember when the guy who was supervising called up and said, "What happened?"
Yeah. So I'm thinking about oil in the Kenai. I'm thinking about maybe you're using seismic testing, or how are you?
We were actually doing field geology mapping.
Okay.
We were north. We were really in central Alaska much of the time. You know, we spent most of the time off the highway, camping in the woods with a helicopter to supply us.
Okay.
And it was pretty well set up so that about every fourth or fifth day, we'd have a flight come in from whatever the nearest big city was. In most of the cases, it would have been the big city in southern...
Anchorage or Juneau, no, or Fairbanks?
No, it wasn't any of those.
Okay.
It was... I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, the nearest city, they supply food. They'd bring food in every 3 days, 4 days. We'd order food.
All right.
So we always had plenty of food in the camp, and our two graduate assistants' assignments were when we were not in the field, we were managing camp and fixing meals and so on. So
okay.
We had to all that too. But
okay.
But it was a great adventure because we saw a lot of Central Alaska. You know,
wow.
We moved around from place to place. The helicopter would take off every morning with one pair. And sometimes come back for the other pair later, but he would put the, he'd say, we want to go there. He put us down, and we didn't have to walk through the tundra, which we would have done otherwise. He'd let us down there, and we'd look at that outcrop and measure and sample and make some notes. And then he'd go move the other team to another place and come back and move us, so we just kind of leapfrogged around.
So the helicopter could seat three. Okay.
Yep.
Could it seat four?
I think so, but I'm normally just three of us in there.
Okay. Okay. And so it wasn't like you were walking miles and miles. They moved you from
we didn't have
outcrop
to
outcrop. Okay.
We didn't have to walk across the tundra, which is hard to do in the summer, you know, because it's spongy and wet.
Yeah.
It's frozen in the wintertime, but in the summer, it's hard
spongy.
Work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We rarely had to walk very far. The helicopter would put us down where we wanted to look. And then he'd come back and he'd put us down. We want to look at the next place. And just leave us there for an hour or two and then come back. And we'd look at the outcrop and sample the rocks and make some notes. And
sort of going from outcrop to outcrop to outcrop, just what you could see out there.
We were putting together geologic maps, general maps anyway, of what the geology was in those places and which part looked more promising for more oil appreciation. And we found some areas that looked promising.
Okay.
I don't know whether they ever developed or not, because every other company has also found those same places.
Doing the same thing. Yeah.
In fact, once in a while, we would stop at an outcrop, and you'd already see the geologist had been there and marked what they call a strike and dip, which is the orientation of the rock layers.
Yes.
Somebody, he'd scrapped it on there, you know, strike and the dip of the law.
I'd already put it there.
Already put it there for us.
Oh my gosh!
But it was an exciting place, and we had some scary experiences too that kept us trained alert. We each was armed with a 300 Magnum rifle all the time.
Okay.
One of the graduates
each of you
carried that rifle every place we went.
So each of you had a rifle,
no,
or
just one
team?
For a team. Each
one
team
for a
had
team.
One rifle.
Okay. All right.
So we had two going, and it was a good thing. On one case we. And I didn't experience this. The other team did. They were parked on a little hill, above which there was a stream down there. Big female grizzly came up the stream bed with twin cubs.
Oh.
And smelled them or sensed them and came right up after them. She just sensed them as dangerous, and she was going to attack them. So happily, this other student who had the rifle just knelt down and killed the female before she got to him. It was too bad too, because then the cubs were there, and what do? We reported to the wildlife people in Alaska, and they said we probably can't do anything with them because they're too young. But at least we told the reporter what we had done and why, so that was okay. But and the second scary one, and I didn't experience this one either. Happily, it was the other group again, the other team that got this one. When the helicopter lifts off, you know, it lifts off from a cushion from the ground, and then it gets just off that cushion, and when it touches, it goes down like this, and then takes up. But they were right on the edge of a slope, And up above was a big glacier with cold currents coming down from it. And as they lifted off of that little ground cushion and started to go forward, they came to this slope, and they went down the slope. But the cold breeze coming down from there just blew them right down, and they just went right down the slope, slashing off trees and everything. With it. Another would destroyed another helicopter, or at least another prop, you know.
And they were okay, though.
They were okay. They got bruised and bounced up a little, but they were okay. But
wow.
That was really close.
Wow.
And we learned that in one of the other teams that summer, one of the geologists was just standing just a little way from the helicopter looking at something, and a big boulder came down and killed him.
Wow.
The boulder came down the slope. So it was hazardous, and we didn't realize how much until we got there. But we were fortunate we didn't have any serious problems other than these two that I mentioned, and they were a problem, but they weren't dangerous to human life.
And this was a 3-month assignment for you?
Yeah, about 3 months, 2.5 or 3 months in the summer. We just left right after school was out and came back in time to get to graduate school at UCLA. I had to drive from Idaho, where my family was. During part of the summer, they spent with my wife's family, and then part of the time with my family in Idaho. So when I came back, I landed in Idaho Falls.
Okay.
And the family was there. And the twins, by this time, were still pretty young, but one of the twins, we all grew beards. Everybody in Alaska grew beards, you know, big, dark brown beards. One of the twins would not come to me. She couldn't believe I was her father. This is a great big... until she got acquainted a little later.
Oh, my.
She would not have anything to do with me when I got off the airplane.
Yeah. And so I'm assuming, being out in the field that much, you were able to save up some money.
Yeah. Good. We didn't spend anything while I was out there.
Yeah.
My wife spent some. And she was staying with family both places, both in Idaho and Utah. So we did save some money, and we ended up at UCLA with the money, all of the money from our summer employment, which was,
and
we thought a lot at that time.
More importantly, I'm assuming that 3 months of field mapping would have been great experience as a new graduate.
Oh, yes, it was.
Can you tell me more about what you learned that summer with regards to mapping?
Well, I learned a sense of having been be more observant as to what do we look for that would suggest oil possibilities, you know, or potential for a trap for oil underneath the layers and so on. I learned to look for things like that I hadn't done before, because I never really concentrated on oil exploration. I did concentrate on what I did for my master's thesis, which was stratigraphy, which was helpful because most of the oil occurs in strata, in sedimentary rock layers. You know? And so there were some connections there. But
okay. Because I would think that'd be a really great exposure to just...
It was.
Just looking at structures that aren't, you know, that actually move, bend, you know, over the landscape.
Yeah. We could reconstruct the structure of a certain area if we see the rock outcrops in a few places. We could reconstruct what it looks like underground, yeah?
Right.
We like to see nice folds, which would be a trap for oil. And so those are one of the things we looked for at the time.
Okay.
It was a great experience. We saw almost all the wildlife that I had. We were there for the caribou migration.
Wow.
We were there for the salmon run.
Oh, my.
We were in these little streams, you know, and when the salmon came in one day, the streams were empty. The next day, they were full of salmon heading up to spawn.
Okay.
And you could walk out in the stream, and they would just swim around you or something. If you weren't moving, they'd just ignore you. You know, you could almost reach down and grab one.
Wow!
But it was just incredible.
The bears would have been.
Yeah, the bears were there too. We saw lots of black bears and a few big grizzlies.
Okay.
And we learned to be very careful of the grizzlies, of course.
Yeah. 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 And when I think of caribou in Alaska, I just think about a sea of animals.
We did. We saw. We flew over a virtual sea of caribou just migrating slowly along.
And, wow.
Then we saw, well, most of the, I can't remember all life, but we saw the Dall sheep that are native to the mountains of Alaska. They're somewhat like bighorn sheep, but they're called Dall sheep.
Like, more like mountain goats, kind
of? Yeah,
white?
Sort of, uh-huh, sort of, yep.
White in color?
They weren't mountain goats. They were, well, they had wool.
Okay.
But they weren't like domestic sheep, but they were called Dall sheep.
Okay.
They were white, fairly white.
And did you see any northern lights at all?
Yes, yes. Beautiful displays in the evening.
But this was like, were you in the Arctic Circle or
no,
just
no, we
south
were below
of
the circle a little
okay.
ways, but it wasn't very far from. We got up into close to it there.
So it will be light quite a bit of the night then.
Yes, yeah. We just have to learn how to go in the tent and shut the flap and forget about it and go to sleep because it is
okay.
still daylight.
But then the northern lights, you would see those in the daylight.
Well,
kind of.
No, not really in the daylight. At least I didn't. But the night was short, you know.
Okay,
and,
got it.
After we'd been working all day, we'd be tired enough. And after dinner, we would just go in the tent and shut the flap
and go to sleep.
And go to sleep. The
yeah.
sun was still up sometimes, you know. Until it's
were there mosquitoes?
Yes, there were mosquitoes.
Would you wear a net or just repellent?
We did repel them some. We didn't have, if we stayed away from civilization, it seemed like, and from a lot of close, we picked our camps in fairly clear areas, you know, where we'd have some clear space around. But we always had mosquitoes. We knew
okay.
we had mosquitoes every day. They were there all summer long. They just
okay.
were part of the scene.
Okay.
But it was a marvelous experience just to see the things we saw and to learn the things we learned about oil exploration was very helpful. And
nice.
It was a great experience.
So after a summer in Alaska, what was moving to Los Angeles like?
I borrowed my father's pickup, loaded it. Let's see, we actually had two pickups, I guess. We had a car and a pickup. I don't remember how we did that. We had a pickup, and my younger brother drove the pickup most of the way to Los Angeles to help me move.
Great.
And my wife and I and our kids came in a car. So we had a car and a pickup, and the pickup was loaded with our stuff.
Which younger brother? What was his name?
Stephen.
Okay.
He ended up going into chemistry and got a PhD there and had a career in chemistry. And
at UCLA as well?
No, he went to University of Utah.
Oh, okay.
And then okay. was assigned for many years. He worked back in Pennsylvania. That's where I got this. Gave me this T-shirt because he lived in Pennsylvania for a number of years and worked there.
Nice.
And then he worked with the Atomic Energy to some extent, because after he'd been there a while, they shipped him out to Idaho, where he'd grown up, nearly
okay.
where he'd grown up.
Okay.
To the experimental place they were doing out there with the submarine engine with atomic powered engines.
The Stanford Nuclear Energy place?
No, it was just near Arco, Idaho.
Okay.
On the desert, just the other side of Arco, Idaho.
Okay. Well,
that was only about, he lived in Blackfoot that time. Blackfoot was the nearest city. Arco was just a little town on the other side, but they had a
okay.
transport every day out to the site where they were working
All right.
on that stuff. So he was there for a couple of years,
so, and
almost back home, and then shifting back to Pennsylvania.
So he helped you move to Los Angeles.
Yep.
Where is the UCLA campus, and where did you live?
I lived on the campus. Mercifully, they do have student housing.
Okay.
Married student housing on the campus.
Great.
Which was a real blessing. Because it was a modest price, and we were not very far from Hollywood and, you know, all those fancy places. It's in the western part of Los Angeles, though not as far west as the coast quite, but we were just trying to remember what we were near. We were near a lot of industry, of course, all around us. I can't even remember the address it was on, but it was in a, it was a nice area. It was a nice campus. It was a big campus, and there were enough of us who were members of the church that we had, after we'd been there a while, they formed a, again, they formed a student branch of the Church of Jesus Christ for students at UCLA.
Nice.
And so I got acquainted with a lot of the fellows that were there. Most of them were married. We had a wife, or we wouldn't have been out like that, living off. So, yeah, it was a marvelous experience as well. And
so what did you have an idea of what you were going to be studying at UCLA in your PhD program?
Yeah, pretty well. I knew it was going to be a lot of geology and chemistry and stratigraphy and some math courses.
And what did you end up doing your PhD in?
Well, it was, again, it was a stratigraphic study. One little incident on the way. The first, after all of, I've been there 1 year, all of us as the first year graduates had been accepted there. They gave us a written exam to see what we could do. And I had only been there 1 year, so I wasn't very familiar. Some of the others had been there several years and knew the professors, even as undergraduates, you know, but I didn't. So they asked some questions that I didn't answer very well. So at the end of that exam, they said to some of the students, said, well, you didn't pass the exam, so you can't continue. And I thought, oh my gosh, that could happen to me. And they said, and there were six of us who had done reasonably well, but they wanted us to try another year before they decided. They said they gave us another year to see if we could improve our behavior, our performance in the exam the second year.
Okay.
And, oh my gosh.
So this is sort of geology proficiency they were testing you in?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. And you
and
only
of course
had...
it was also colored in part by what they knew in the area that they had worked in California.
Which is tar pits and subduction zones.
Yeah, and I had never, I didn't know much about that.
Okay.
One of the questions I know they asked me was to describe one of the major faults, you know, and I picked the Wasatch Fault in Utah.
Oh.
Because I knew that pretty well, but that's not the one they would have liked me to take. They wanted me to take one in California. I mean, the San Andreas Fault was right there, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so when the second year came out, and I really worried about that, I sat in on all the classes I could, besides the ones I was assigned to take. I just sat in on other classes, you know, that I knew I was weak in and to get some help with, just on my own. I spent most of my time on the campus sitting in classes.
Okay.
So when they took the exam next time, I got the highest score.
Wow.
That really thrilled me, because the year before, the guy who got the highest score was really the brightest one of I'd ever seen of our group. He would have been ahead of me if I'd have taken it the same year, but he passed the first year and I didn't. So so I got the highest score that second time. Then I was okay.
Okay.
And I followed the assignment, you know, with some of the professors there and on classes to take. And I picked a subject, again, back in Utah, Idaho, because I knew that geology better. And the reason I picked it, they would have had me do something in California if I hadn't done this. But
right.
I had a good friend at the University of Utah who knew me and knew some of my interests. And he suggested that there was an area on the Idaho-Utah border that had not been studied very carefully.
Okay.
Called the Blue Spring Hills. And it had some interesting structures in it. It had a lot of stratigraphy of the kind of rocks that I knew something about. And by this time, I had shifted pretty strongly into stratigraphy.
Okay.
The study of sedimentary rocks and paleontology, the study of the fossil record.
Okay.
mainly little invertebrate sea creatures, you know, that I was doing. I wasn't studying dinosaurs, even though they're more exciting.
Yes.
But the fossils were far more abundant. The geologists using were the ones that were in the marine deposits, in the strata.
Yes.
Some of those were microfossils. I didn't work with those very much, but I did work with the, we would just call them seashells, you know. That's yep. The seashells, the seashell creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were useful in dating the rocks and in determining the environment and a number of other things. And this area I picked in the... at the Utah-Idaho border, was assigned, was suggested to me by William Lee Stokes, who was at the University of Utah, on the faculty there. But I had met him and knew something, because he knew something of the work I'd done in my master's degree in Utah. So anyway, I appreciated him suggesting that, and he arranged for me to get paid something to do it, because I produced a geologic map.
Oh, wow.
At the end, I produced a geologic map.
Nice.
So I got paid something, not a lot, but paid something to do it.
Okay. And the UCLA professors were, they probably wanted you to help further the study of California geology.
Yeah. But they were excited. When they understand what I was doing, I might have been for them, they said, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
So they accepted it, and they let me work it through, and... it took me 2 more years. I just had been there 2 years. It took me 2 more years. The third year, of course, I took more classes mostly, and then concentrated on the thesis area. And then the fourth year, I practically spent the summer in Idaho.
Okay.
Working at the outcrops there while my children and my wife stayed with my parents who lived nearby.
Okay.
Not exactly nearby, but in southern Idaho.
They were still at the farm.
Yeah, they were still on the farm.
Okay. So Karma and the children were at the farm.
And of course, the grandkids got well acquainted with their grandparents. And
nice.
And vice versa. It was a nice experience all around.
Nice.
And I could get to see them once in a while. They were up in the Snake River Valley. Some miles north of where I was. I was right on the Utah border. Part of my thesis was in Utah and part in southern Idaho, a little bit of it. And that's where the Blue Spring Hills were. So
okay.
My dissertation said the geology of the Blue Spring Hills, Utah, Idaho.
What was the neatest thing you found there in the Blue Hills, that something you might have been unexpected to find?
I guess the main thing I found is that I found a lot of fossils that I had learned about and had to learn what they were and how to recognize them and what they meant in terms of time and environment and so on. I didn't make any big discoveries except just the details of what was in that area and made a geologic map of it. That was the main part of my dissertation, was the geologic map I produced.
Okay.
And the description of the rock strata and the description of the fossils. And
did your professors at UCLA, did they go out with you?
Yeah, one of them did. One of them came out to spend part of the summer.
Okay.
That summer, looking at my field area.
Great, to make sure that what you mapped was actually on the terrain.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And what did they think?
Well, he approved of it. His name was N. Gary Lane. He was about the same age I was, actually. He was fairly young. He was a new faculty member there.
Okay.
And he was my advisor. N. Gary Lane, L-A-N-E, and he was good help, and
nice.
In fact, he helped me with the first fossil publication I did. He had worked on some of the same fossils I had, and he helped me write that first publication I did in the fossil record.
What year was that?
It was about, let's see. I started in UCLA in, I gotta think back now, what year was that?
So it was 57-58, the summer of, in Alaska. So it would have been the fall of 58.
Yeah, it was 58, 59, 60, 61, 62.
62, okay.
Yeah.
So that's 62. A 5-year program. Well, let's see, 58, 59, 59, 60, 60, 61, 61, 62.
for 4 years.
4 years.
Got it. Okay.
And even that took a little longer. I had the mapping all done and had it examined and accepted and so on, but then I had to write the dissertation.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote most of it while I was at UCLA, but I finished it up actually after I got a job, because I applied, you know, for teaching jobs in various places, and was accepted at Flagstaff. Flagstaff was still called, it was just still called
Arizona Teachers College?
Arizona State Teachers College.
Okay.
But the year or two after I'd been there, it became Northern Arizona University, but it is now. And by this time, it had developed into more than just, it had been a teacher's college for some years, but now they'd expanded it beyond that. And so,
right. Okay, so you had to finish up. Let's go back a minute.
Yeah, well, when I went back, they offered me a job. I got a job offer from...
Hang on a second. Let's go back a little bit more. Let's go back to your mapping. I'm interested in Dr. Lane. What do you remember about him?
Well, he was a very good stratigrapher and paleontologist, and was patient with us that he was teaching.
Okay.
And patient with me when I was trying to learn. He was very helpful. I appreciated him. Soon after, I was gone from there and had come to Flagstaff. He left and went back to where he'd come from for a teaching job there.
Okay.
Dang, I've got to stop and think now what state he was in. I know very well if I can think of it.
Not to worry.
Well, I'll think of it in a minute, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
He went back east to the Midwest anyway, which is where he'd come from.
Okay.
And joined there. And then...
Was there anybody else at UCLA that was really instrumental in your education that you think of? That was inspiring to you or helpful in any way?
Yes, the paleontologist there, the main paleontologist there, was an older guy. Got to think of his name now. He was very helpful to all of us, and we were working in paleontology.
Nice. Okay.
I may have to look that up. I know who it is. I can't place his name now.
Not to worry. The last question about this time, a couple questions I want to ask you. Were there any women in your class? Were there any women geologists at that time?
Yeah, not many. Not very many. Very few.
Few. Okay.
Very few, yeah.
Okay. All right. And did you have any more children during this time?
Yes. We had... The next child we had was a boy, and he died at birth.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That was kind of a sad thing. He was doing okay. He was just awfully big.
Mm.
We realized that my first wife was fairly short, 5'2".
Okay.
And she knew that she was carrying a pretty heavy load with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was born, the problem is the doctor that had been attending her, when he went to UCLA Hospital, which is a marvelous hospital, you know, but the doctor that had been attending her was away from the campus when she was ready to deliver.
Mm.
So some other doctors had to pick it up.
Ooh.
And they tried to get her to bear the baby in, you know, in the normal way. And it couldn't go. She worked all day long at it, and finally they realized it was not going to happen. They had to take her cesarean section.
Mm-hmm.
They did a hasty cesarean section on her, got the baby out, but it was too late. The baby had struggled enough that they had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. It strangled him. He was still alive, just barely breathing, when he came out, and just didn't last very long, just a very short time, and he was gone. No way to get him back, so we just lost that one. That was a hard road to take.
Yeah.
That came second year we were there, I guess, sometime in that second year.
5960.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And then, but we had two more in the next 2 years and a half. We had a another son.
What was
the oldest
his name?
Son I have, who lived.
What was his name?
One daughter. His name was Sterling.
Nice.
And then a daughter we named Jennifer. She was born, again, just a few weeks before we left UCLA to come to Flagstaff.
Okay.
That was a pretty enjoyable experience in a way, and we drove, well, we left Lee Flagstaff in the middle of the night, the hot summer day. We were driving across the Mojave Desert in the daytime. We didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I started at midnight, and we were driving across the Mojave Desert. It got hot later on, but we mostly crossed at the time the afternoon heat caught up with us.
But by then you were climbing up into the high country.
Yeah, we were getting up in the higher country, and that was good.
And this would have been just at the time, or maybe just before, the building of the interstate highway system.
It was partly done. Part of it was done.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got across the Mojave Desert. I remember my older kids looking out the back window. That we had a station wagon, big station wagon, pretty loaded. They said, "Dad, what are all those lights in the sky?" They'd never seen stars, because they'd grown up in Los Angeles, and you don't see stars in Los Angeles. The smog didn't allow it.
Wow.
It's better now, I understand, but it was my kids had never seen stars at night.
Wow.
Out of the Mojave Desert, you know, it's clear and bright, and there were all these sparkling stars. What are those lights up there? Then I realized they had never seen stars.
Wow.
Of course, they were only young, you know, the older one was in school by this time, but the younger ones weren't quite, the twins were just ready to go to school, but they weren't in yet.
But you'd been busy, it's not like you'd had the time to, you know, take them camping or
anything. No, we hadn't taken anything like that for quite a while.
Right.
So anyway, we get almost to Williams, which is just west a little ways of Flagstaff, and they were working on this interstate highway. And I was sort of concerned because our car was getting warm. I could see the temperature coming up as we were climbing up the elevation, and we got partway up to the climb to Williams, and they stopped all the traffic dead on the road.
Ooh.
Oh, my dear. Well, while they stopped, our radiator boiled over.
Yep.
So what do? I was blocking traffic. I was, you know, I couldn't go anywhere. But bless his heart, some guy from Williams just whipped around and pulled up in front of me. Had a little truck, and pulled up in front of me and hooked onto me, towed me up to the top of the hill. Gave me a thing full of water. It wouldn't take anything for it. I tried to offer somebody, it wouldn't take, but I was so grateful for that.
Wow.
We put water back in the radiator and started the car up, and it worked okay. And we got to Flagstaff that afternoon. We'd been driving since midnight, you know. I was tired.
You
we were
beat.
All tired. But,
yep.
It was a marvelous blessing to have this guy to come by and just, he could see we were stranded there, and he just whipped by and hooked onto us with his truck and towed us to the top of the hill, gave us a thing full of water.
And this was the summer of 1962?
Yes.
Okay.
It was like August of 62. I was supposed to start teaching that fall.
Okay.
And I hadn't finished writing my dissertation. Bless their hearts, they treated me as if I had finished it and started me up with a good salary.
Okay.
Anyway, but I didn't have it finished until about Christmas time. I turned it in finally at Christmas time. And then one of the two of the students said, well, we thought you were already through.
Shush.
So then, what about getting the degree? Well, I went back. I had to go back to UCLA to be sure that the dissertation got turned in and accepted.
Ah.
And one of my classmate friends there had invited me to stay with him a day or two while I was there waiting and trying to get things done. And so we had a nice, I had a nice visit with him while I was there, but I didn't go to the official graduation because I would have had to make another trip back to Los Angeles in the spring. I didn't want to do that, even though they had the President of the United States was a guest speaker at the graduation ceremony.
Oh my. Who was that at the time? 63? 63. Kennedy? Eisenhower? Somewhere? Where? No, not Eisenhower. I'm trying to remember who the...
No, it wasn't Eisenhower. No, it was later than that. It was... It would have been the next one. I can't even think now. Anyway, I missed that. I'd like to have gone, but I just couldn't do it. I was just getting settled with the first year of teaching at...
Right.
What was there? Arizona State College.
And, you know what? Let's do here. Maybe this is a good place to put a comma in this.
Okay.
Because I've got a lot of questions now to ask you about Flagstaff and all that. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this as part of something that I didn't ask that you think would be good to know?
Well, the one thing maybe that when I first came here, there was just a lone geologist here, and he had just taught here a couple of years, and he was leaving. He was the only geologist on the faculty here. There was no geology department yet, but I was hired to teach geology, replace this guy who was leaving.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions about that. What did you know? Did you come out to Flagstaff? Did they interview you? Or did they just take you sight unseen? Let's get into that maybe next time.
Okay.
Because I can see one thing's going to lead to another.
Yeah, they did interview me because while I was coming back from my last summer of field mapping is when I talked to them because I knew I was applying for jobs even though I knew I wasn't going to be ready until another year. But
okay.
So they did interview me.
So that would have been in 1960, 61, summer of 61?
It must have been the summer of 61, yeah. And
okay. I'll ask you next time what you remember about that and the other schools applied to.
Okay.
Great. Well, with that, this will conclude part two of a Grand Canyon Oral History Interview with Dr. Stanley Buse. Today is Monday, August 16, 2021. My name is Tom Martin, and Stan, thank you so very much.
You bet. You're welcome.